Holiday in Simon Gray's comedy Butley. How funny was he? Don't miss Ben Brantley's review in the Times Arts section. Pick up your copy of the Times at a store or newsstand near you. And for check now in the forecast, we check back in with meteorologist Tommy Ells.
We have a lot of rain in the forecast later Friday night into the first part of Saturday. Tonight becoming mostly clear, 32 to 35. More clouds will be arriving during the day tomorrow, but remaining dry as highs reach the mid-50s. Rain overspreading the area late tomorrow night, and Saturday breezy with rain ending by afternoon, followed by some late clearing behind the mid-50s. Sunday mostly cloudy, windy in the mid-40s. This is the meteorologist Tommy Ells from the WFAS Weather Center.
Thank you, Tommy, and right now it is 42 degrees. There's everything you need to know in about a half hour, more of your favorite music, but right now it's time for Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney on AM 1230 WFAS.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of Mind with Lippman Cross.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, and we're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And this week, our special guest is Janet Riley, who's the Executive Director of Northeast Westchester Special Recreation. Welcome, Janet.
Yes, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the show. And tell us about Northeast Westchester Special Recreation. What is it?
Well, we provide therapeutic recreation for children and adults with developmental disabilities in Westchester County.
And tell us about some of the activities that the kids might be engaged in on a regular basis.
Well, we have a huge Special Olympics program. Every Wednesday night at the Boys and Girls Club in Mount Kisco, we have about 60 people there who train in a variety of sports. We have swim programs. We have sports for younger children as well. We have nightclubs. We have a summer day camp for 6 weeks. You name it, we do it. And if we haven't done it yet and somebody has a great idea, we'll try it.
So you say it's in Westchester. Is there one particular location or it's all over?
Well, our offices are in Hawthorne, but we do serve the town of Bedford, the town of Lewisboro, the town of Mount Pleasant, the town of North Castle, town of Somers, town of Pound Ridge, the village of Briarcliff Manor, the village of Mount Kisco, the town of Newcastle, the town of North Salem, the village of Sleepy Hollow, and the village of Pleasantville.
And the children of all ages?
Yes, our youngest is 4, and we serve senior citizens. We have people in their 70s in our program.
Now, are you affiliated with the Special Olympics?
We participate in the Special Olympics. We're actually affiliated with the towns that I mentioned, that instead of the recreation program being offered to people with special needs through their town, if they don't fit into that program, they come to us. So our affiliation is with those towns, and the superintendents of recreation of those municipalities serve on our board of directors.
So if there's a town that wasn't listed in the ones that you just enumerated, how would they get involved?
If we have space in our program, we will accept people from other communities, but we are responsible to take these people first.
So if a child lives in one of those towns and has special needs, then they can participate in the program?
Yes.
And how do you define special needs?
Well, we have pretty much the gamut. I mean, we will take people who don't fit into a typical program if they do have physical limitations, but primarily all of the people that we serve are developmentally disabled, which means that they have difficulty in learning and can't adapt to a regular program because they might have social issues, they might have communication problems, and in some cases we do have people who are multiply handicapped who receive very special services and do need the structure that we provide in our recreation programs.
So the participants might have mental and or physical disabilities?
Yes, yes.
And the people who are participating in the programs, how do they generally get to the programs?
They it all varies. We do have 4 vehicles. We transport people to programs. Some of the times parents will bring them to a program, but then we'll have an elective afterwards so that our transportation will take them to the next step. So, you know, because we serve so many people, about 500 people in the course of a year, and they may come to us 2 or 3 times a week in some cases, every program is a little different, but we do provide transportation whenever we can.
So there's 500 people at a time?
At a time? No, throughout the year.
So how many at a given time?
Well, say on a Saturday, for example, we might run 6 different programs. We may have 150 or so people that we program for on a Saturday. We do have after-school programs that oftentimes will have 10 to 15 people in that program. And then our Special Olympics activities that we conduct on Wednesday night, we might serve 65 or so people there.
So give our listeners an example of what some of the Saturday activities might be like.
Well, we use the BOCES in Yorktown. We have a swim program for our multiply handicapped. There we have almost a one-to-one staffing. That's actually the only program that we provide that intense staffing for. And they're in the pool, and it's a therapeutic pool, so it's very warm and very comfortable. And our staff actually work with them in the water, not always just teaching swim skills, but also stretching and a variety of things. Also at BOCES that day, we have a program for our little tiny kids. They're like 4 to 6 years old, and it's called Ready, Set, Play, and that's what it is. They have a play, like, social group. They do all kinds of sports skills. They do arts and crafts, music. It's really cute. You should stop by there. And then also we have a teen group. They're out and about. They go to the Bronx Zoo. They go to mazes, you know, corn mazes. They're everywhere. They also participate in Special Olympics programs. Then we have an adult group that also goes on a lot of trips and Special Olympics activities. They also will oftentimes go for a weekend away to, say, Cape May or somewhere in Pennsylvania, Hershey, Pennsylvania. So they're all we are very active, very busy, and we do a lot.
Are the groupings based on age or cognitive ability?
Well, age first, and then within those age groups, we break people down into ability groups.
So generally, the kids will be separated based upon how old they are and what they're able to do.
Yes, yes.
Now, you mentioned there are also programs during the week. Are they different than the ones on Saturday?
Yeah, we just had a program today, actually. That's a socialization program for children who are 12 to 14 years old. You know, every program is pretty much tailored to meet the needs of the people in that program, and we do change the activities on a regular basis so that there's always something new going on.
And when was Northeast founded?
Well, rumor has it that it started in the 70s through the Boys and Girls Club, actually, in Mount Kisco, and then over time, in 1981, became incorporated as Northeast Westchester Special Recreation. However, before that, services were being had at the Boys and Girls Club.
And how long have you been involved?
11 years. I've been the director at Northeast.
And what got you interested in it?
Well, I've always been in this field. I worked for Special Olympics, actually, for 10 years before that. And I ran the New York City office of New York Special Olympics, started it, and then after some time felt that I needed to do something else. Before that, I worked in a residential facility, Margaret Chapman School, where severe and profound people with mental retardation lived. That's how I started as the phys ed teacher there.
Has the program grown over the years?
The Northeast program? Yes, tremendously. We're real excited about all the programs that we offer, but also we've been doing a lot more fundraising, and as a result, we are able to expand our programs. We're always in the business of bringing in some new friends.
So tell us about some of your fundraising efforts.
Well, we have had a dinner for 2 years, a gala dinner. At the Westchester Marriott, actually, Bernie, I know you were on our committee, our organizing committee. We were a little concerned in the beginning. You know, it was a new first-time thing, but we've actually done very well. The first year we made $50,000. The second year we made $70,000. And in 2007, we'll be having it at Fountainhead on October 20th, 2007.
So this one dinner can't fund your entire annual budget, can it?
No.
So what else?
We get money from the Office of Mental Retardation Developmental Disabilities through their Family Support Services Program. They give us about half of our budget. We fundraise. We get money from those municipalities that I mentioned. We assess them based on the participation that they have in each one of the communities. And we take donations and do a lot of fundraising.
So do you apply for grants from OMRDD?
Yes, we're part of their grant process.
So who fills those out, you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That sounds like fun, yeah?
It's a lot of fun.
Well, I'll tell you, this certainly sounds interesting, and we're going to continue our discussion with Janet right after we take a short break. We'll be right back.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family, and unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Littman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney, and partner in the law firm Littman Crooks, with offices right here in White Plains and in New York City. Our guest this week is the Executive Director of the Northeast Westchester Special Recreation, and it's Janet Riley. And Janet and I have been speaking about the programs that are available to children with disabilities. And boy, Janet, sure seems like a lot's going on. You must have to employ a heck of a lot of people to get all this work done.
We do. We have 7 full-time staff. And in the course of a year, we'll employ about 100 other part-time people for our different activities.
So the 7 full-time staff, are they administrative? Are they therapists?
4 of them are recreation therapists. We have a bookkeeper who, and also office manager who really keeps everything going in the office, a program director, and myself.
And are these full-time employees?
Yes, yes, all full-time.
And the volunteers, how many of them do you have?
Well, we have a lot of volunteers. Probably we don't have as many as most people would think, because if they're really good, we usually end up paying them. It makes them come on a more regular basis. But we have anywhere from around 20 volunteers, I'd say. But as I mentioned, we really enjoy having them, and they usually start out that way. But then they learn that they really enjoy what they do, and we learn that we really enjoy having them, so we end up offering them a salary.
Now, are the volunteers for specific events, or are they people who just are regular volunteers?
Well, all of the those Saturday programs and after-school programs that I mentioned, we do have staff that we have to have there working with the children, whether it be in a swim program or a sports program. In addition, we have volunteers that work on committees for our fundraising events. We talked about the gala. We have a lot of people that we need to volunteer for that. We also put on a golf outing every year in September at Mayapack Golf Club. And one of our major friends and sponsors of that, General Cable, with Tony Kutry, they put on that event, and we take volunteers, too, to help out with things like that. So we're always looking for people, whether it be at program or in the office, if somebody has a special skill.
And how do you find your employees?
Well, the best way tends to be word of mouth. You know, we also employ a lot of siblings. We have our kids that come to program, and usually they're brothers and sisters. We kind of get them when they're about 14 or 15 to do community service, and then we usually hold on to them, because who better to work with these kids than their brothers and sisters?
Do the employees need any kind of special training?
We give training. We have in-services throughout the year, and actually everything is hands-on training. So we find that people, we kind of train them the way we want them to be, so we have a lot of luck with our staff, and people typically stay for a long time. We have some of our staff who have been with us for almost 20 years.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
What is the ratio generally in each program of child to adult or child to teacher?
It's different for each program depending on the activity and the disability. Our swim program for multiply handicapped is the most intensely staffed. And we, in a lot of cases, will have a one-to-one there because we have to have people helped in the pool. Our other programs are usually about a 1-to-3 for our children and then about a 1-to-5 for our adult programs.
And what do you do if there are any kind of medical issues?
Well, everyone has to have clearance from a doctor to participate in our program. If they have any kind of limitations, it'll be indicated on the form, and then, you know, we just have to keep them from participating in that activity. But everyone's cleared by their parents and by a physician.
Do you ever have to say no to a child?
Rarely. Sometimes we might have behaviors that are extremely challenging, and in order to try to alleviate that problem, we have gotten the home program, which is a group of behavior analysts who work with us, actually come to our programs on Saturdays, and if there's someone there who we feel needs some extra support, that's what they're there for, so that we can make it a successful situation for them and keep them in program as long as possible.
Tell us a little bit more about the home program. What's that about?
Well, the experience that we have is that they come to our programs. They usually sit back in the beginning and kind of analyze what's going on and pick out the kids that might need a little bit of attention, which oftentimes doesn't take too long. And once they identify that individual, they'll meet with the staff and come up with a plan for how they're going to get involved with them in our program. And rather than just them dealing with the child, they will work with our staff and teach our staff to work with the individual so that when they go away, you know, we can still function. And they stay pretty much with our programs on Saturdays at this point, and it's been extremely successful.
So are they employees of the program?
They're consultants to us. Actually, I got a grant through Family Support Services, once again, to employ them. And, you know, that's how it works. So through that support, we're able to have them with us.
But why do they call it the home program? Do they go to the child's house?
Yeah, they do that also. And in many cases, it's very successful for both the parents and us because there's that transition, too. They'll go to the home, work with the child in the home, set up a plan there, and then that plan can be carried over when the child is in our program so that there's that consistency between home and recreation program.
So is this mostly for children who have difficulty with behavioral type issues?
Yes.
So it helps them get more involved in the programs without being disruptive?
Yeah. And oftentimes these are the kids who maybe haven't developed any friendships, you know, have social problems because of these behaviors. You know, they get in the way. So we see that in recreation, if we can get these behaviors under control, then these individuals have an opportunity to make some friends and socialize with others.
So I guess the plan would be if a child is acting up and not participating in the activities, if you focus on the behavior, then maybe he can thrive in the athletic activity.
That's right. That's right. And oftentimes, the actual activity is used as the reinforcer for the child because it is something that they want to do, and it does look like everyone's having a good time.
Do the kids generally like this? I mean, is this something they look forward to?
Oh, yeah. They look forward to it. They make a lot of friends, and then that friendship carries over outside of the recreation programs. So many of these kids go to each other's birthday parties and, you know, will set up play dates with each other on the weekend. So it's an opportunity for them to make a lot of really good friends that they see weekly, year after year after year.
And is the program offered year-round?
Yes, year-round.
So winter, spring, summer, fall?
Yeah, we're there.
So with all these services and benefits, there must be a fee involved.
Yeah, there are fees assessed for each of the programs. And what we tend to do is we look at the total cost of the program and we divide it into thirds. A third will be paid through our Family Support Service monies. A third is paid by the town from which the individual comes. And the other third is the fee that's assessed to them.
And are there any grants or discounts available for families of need?
Yeah, we do have scholarship programs as well.
And families would submit an application?
That's right, yeah. They submit an application in advance to us, and then we look at the total picture and we determine whether they get partial money payment or a full scholarship, depending upon the need.
Do any of the children go more than once a week?
Many of them go more than once a week, yes. We might have an adult who comes to a bowling program on Tuesday, goes to a Special Olympics program on Wednesday, another Special Olympics program on Thursday, goes to a dance once a month on a Friday night, and then participates all day long on Saturday.
And all of these events are chaperoned, have supervision?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it seems like it really is a wonderful opportunity.
It is a great thing for them, and actually their social lives are probably more involved than most of us.
And the volunteers and the workers, are they also people who generally have experience personally dealing with kids with special needs?
Some do, but some don't. Some just want that experience, and they find that because of our ratios, it's very manageable, and they have a positive experience because they really do get to know the kids, and they're not overwhelmed by having huge groups of people.
I'm speaking with Janet Riley, who's the executive director of Northeast Westchester Special Recreation, and we're going to take a short break and be right back.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're speaking with Janet Riley, who's the executive director of Northeast Westchester Special Recreation. And we've been talking about a wonderful program that's available right here in Westchester. But, Janet, the program's not limited to Westchester. I understand you've had a very exotic trip recently.
Yeah, we were really surprised and excited to learn that our floor hockey team was selected to go to the Special Olympics World Games in Japan in 2005. We went through the various levels of competition. We competed in Westchester. We moved on to the state games. And at the state games, there were very groups of people that were traveling around looking at teams to recommend to go to the World Games. So they liked our guys, and we got the phone call saying that it was very much a possibility. And as time got closer, we couldn't believe that we were still in the running. So we were selected. We took 15 people and three staff, and we went to Nagano, Japan. We competed in the World Games, and not only did we get to go and compete, but we won the gold medal.
I'll tell you, I was at the dinner where we celebrated that, and it was quite an event.
Yeah.
So tell us, what are the World Games?
Well, Special Olympics has Olympic Games, very similar to the regular Olympics, where people are selected from all around this country to be a part of Team USA, and they travel to those events every 2 years. It's the same kind of format as the regular Olympics. Every 2 years, there might be a Summer Games and then the Winter Games. Well, we were fortunate enough to be able to go to the Winter Games, and you'll never believe what we recently learned in the last week.
What?
That we will be going to the 2007 Summer Games that are going to be in China with our softball team.
How do I try out?
The list is long of people who want to go. We have all kinds of people who want to be on the team and parents that want to go and people that want to volunteer. But it's amazing. The first time when we got selected to go to Japan, I said to everybody, well, this is terrific, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Well, you know how many times I hear that now about this once-in-a-lifetime experience now that we're getting to go again.
Now, how do they select the team? Is it based on a competitive nature because you beat the other teams?
Yeah, what happens in Special Olympics is there are divisions, so that there might be 15 or 20 divisions in some of these sports. So you can be a winner in a lower-level division. Doesn't necessarily mean that you are, like, the best team that's competing there, but in your division, if you win gold medal, you get to advance to the next level. And then it goes to the state office, and the selection process is, you know, I'm not quite sure how it works there, but a lot of it, I think, depends on your abilities and how you advance through the system, but also the teamwork and the sportsmanship and just, you know, an overall feeling for the team.
So how many teams from the United States get to go?
Well, actually, for this China trip, we are the only softball team going in the United States.
In a particular age bracket or in all age brackets?
No, in all age brackets. We are the only one. And when we went to Japan, there were two hockey teams. There was one from California and us.
So how did you decide which volunteers and which employees were going to go?
Well, our coach, Joe Bellini, he had to go because he's the coach. And Nancy Troiano, who's our program director, she is also responsible for adult programming, so she went. And because it was the first time, our board of directors decided that I needed to go. So I went too, and it was a terrific experience.
And I guess these are televised?
Yeah, they are. And the Japanese people were wonderful. They were so excited about having us there. Everywhere we went, we got cheering crowds. We thought that we were celebrities.
And the children of all ages can go and compete in the Olympics?
You have to be eight to be in the Olympics. So that's the youngest age that you can compete. That's their regulation.
But there's no maximum?
No. As long as you get that medical form.
I guess, yeah, you want to make sure nobody's cheating, right?
Yeah.
It's Special Olympics, right?
Yes, that's right.
We want to win, but not that badly.
Within reason.
Within reason. I'm Bernie Crooks, and we're speaking with Janet Riley, who's the Executive Director of Northeast Westchester Special Recreation. And we'll be right back after this brief message.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are